السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله السميع من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة للمتقين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, I know, you know, this is now the second week in a row that we're not having the firsts. I don't know when we will resume the firsts. Could be next week, it could be in a few weeks, Allah knows best. But inshallah ta'ala, with everything that is happening, I think our hearts and our minds are focused on one thing right now. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, every night on Yaqeen's YouTube channel at 8:30 p.m. Central Time, inshallah ta'ala, we will have a different program. So some of them will be in person, inshallah ta'ala, maybe a joint panels, inshallah, hopefully this weekend. And then some of them will just be live webinars. But the point is to really help navigate through all of the emotions that we are feeling, and more importantly, to do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the midst of these moments. So inshallah ta'ala, every night at 8:30, that'll be online inshallah. And some of that will be here, of course, at Valley Ranch, inshallah ta'ala, as joint programming. I wanted to really focus on something that, subhanallah, I personally was a part of yesterday, and then obviously what we all saw of the images coming out of Gaza today. And of course, what's been a recurring theme of what seems to be life that is completely cast aside. And yesterday, when I was in Chicago for the janazah of Wadir, a six-year-old boy, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him as a shaheed and heal his mother Hanan, who is battling through her wounds. There was an ayah that came to my mind, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. For what crime were you killed? Knowing that one day, that young boy is going to be asked on the Day of Judgment, for what crime were you killed? بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Because on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the victim. And there is something very powerful about that, that as we're talking about the silenced victims, and especially these days where the signals are loud and we're hearing the voice of the tyrants and the voice of the transgressors in every single way, constantly amplified, the voice of the victim, in this case, those that are murdered, those that are being killed, those that are being oppressed, Allah Azza wa Jalla will say to them, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. For what crime were you killed? I've seen a lot of death, a lot of destruction. This is one of those things that really was very hard to come to terms with. A six-year-old boy who ran up to the landlord because he used to be nice to him. And instead of getting a hug from his landlord stabbed him 26 times. And subhanAllah, as his mother came to him, and this is something that his mother said, his mother came to him and his mother saw him in his last moments, the last words that he said to his mother is that, I'm fine, mama. Somehow, a six-year-old boy, even as he has just been torn up in so many different ways physically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that the last words that he says to his mother. And then obviously today we see what comes out of Gaza. And seeing the press conference of the doctors with the dead bodies laying all around looks like something out of a horror movie. Doesn't look like real life. And I think that a lot of people are sort of grappling with bal ahya, rather they're alive. I mean, is that it? These cold bodies, cold, lifeless, bloodied up bodies, is that really all that it is? And this is a time that we have a chance to really connect with ayat of the Quran that maybe before didn't have the same sort of resonance with us. And so I want us to sort of go through some of these ayat as we've been doing over the last 2 weeks in a way that inshallah ta'ala we can connect to these ayat and really make them relevant to us in this moment when we see what appears to be lifeless, dead, bloodied bodies that seem to have no meaning. And I want you to imagine the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Badr, when the ayah was revealed, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ بَلْ أَحْيَاءَ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, after Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not say of those who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are dead, Rather, they are alive, but you can't perceive it. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعِرُونَ And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling them that something really, really big is about to happen to you. And that's why knowing the seerah is very important with these ayat. Something really horrible and atrocious is about to happen to you, ya ashab Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O community of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were very few people that died in Badr from the Muslims. Handful of shuhada, 12 or so, that died in the Battle of Badr. But Allah Azza wa Jalla followed that ayah with وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Look, we're going to test you with something of fear. شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ and hunger. وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ We're going to take away money, health, your sustenance, your provisions, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ and give glad tidings to the patient. And subhanAllah, Ahl Gaza, the people of Gaza, they fit every single one of these descriptions right now. Every single one of these descriptions. Think about that for a moment. They're being tested with khawf, jur. They're being tested with fear. They're being tested with hunger. They're being tested with thirst. They're being tested with their health. They're being tested with their wealth. They're being tested with their crops. And they're being tested with their lives. And Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Give glad tidings to the patients. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Those who, when tragedy strikes them, they say, to Allah we belong and to Allah we return. Now here's why it's significant to understand the seerah component of this for a moment. The shuhada of Uhud, who were going to be a part of the greatest test that would strike the companion shortly after that ayah was revealed, they read this ayah. They read these ayat. These were ayat that they were reciting, not realizing that they would soon become part of another very similar ayah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would narrate on their behalf to those that were left behind after them, after so many of them would face shahada, after so many of them would face martyrdom. And that's where the verses in Surah Ali Imran come, that inshallah ta'ala we're going to look at Gaza through the lens of this for a moment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented the shuhada of Uhud to himself. And they were in the bodies of green birds hanging from chandeliers from the throne of Ar-Rahman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them as they are flying around and drinking from the riverbanks of Jannah and eating from the fruits of Al-Jannah, ask me anything. Make a wish. Whatever you want. SubhanAllah. Think about our shuhada that are going in the hundreds right now, in the thousands. One strike. And Allah Azza wa Jal presenting them to Himself and presenting Himself to them and asking them, tell me whatever you want. And they would ask to come back to this life because of the karama, the generosity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown to them so that they could be sacrificed for Him once again. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that I have taken an oath that once I bring you here, no one returns to it. You're not going back. What do you want? And what did they want? You remember the man in Surah Yasin who was calling his people to Islam, calling his people to faith, and then he was killed? And when he was killed, what did he say? Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. If only my people knew. If only I could go back and tell my people, bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukrameen. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven me and Allah azza wa jal has honored me and been generous to me now. And here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that in almost identical words but with a different intention, ya layta qawmina ya'lamun. If only our people would know. Ya Rabb, tell our families how we're doing. Tell our families what you've given to us. They're worried about us. They picked up our bodies, lifeless. They picked up our bodies. And in Uhud, what did they do to their bodies? They mutilated them. They tried to psychologically torture the relatives. They mutilated them. So that they could send a message. Ya Rabb, go back and tell our spouses. Ya Rabb, go back and tell our parents. Ya Rabb, go back and tell our children. what you have given to us. Those same people that used to read the ayah, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ, don't say of those who have died, who have been martyred, that they are dead, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, rather they're alive and you don't perceive it. Those same shuhada now have Allah narrating to people in this dunya what they are in right now. Subhanallah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Do not say of those who have died, who have been killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are dead, rather they are alive, and they are being provided for. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. They are in joy right now with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. And by the way, they're waiting for you to join them. أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There's no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. SubhanAllah, there's so much to unpack here in these lessons, in these ayat that now have new life. When you go to the graveyard, dear brothers and sisters, and you look at the grave, you see dirt, you see mud, you see constriction, you'll see insects, you'll see nothing that is pleasant there. And there are two graves that could be right next to each other. And to us, it looks so cold, so bare. Yet subhanAllah, in two graves, one of them is a garden of Jannah unlike any garden that has ever been seen or perceived in this life. And the other one could be a chamber of fire, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, unlike anything that anyone has ever perceived in this life. Likewise, these bodies that look so cold and lifeless when we die, it's not these that we're worried about. It's the soul. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do with us. I was, subhanAllah, so moved by the father of Wadir, who, knowing what happened to his son, can say what? Some of you may have watched what he said in Arabic. He said that my son is a shaheed, just like the shuhada of Gaza. And I present him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alongside all of those other babies in Gaza. SubhanAllah. What type of iman, what type of faith do you have to be able to say that standing over the grave of your son when he was just put in there and you know what has happened to him? That's miraculous. That's something Allah Azza wa Jalla puts in the hearts of the believers, and you don't have that unless you have iman, which is why the Prophet ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. How strange is the affair of the believer. I was looking at one of the reporters, and there were many, many people with cameras, and, you know, trying to capture every moment of the janazah. And I could tell one of them was so deeply moved by everything that was happening. He just couldn't stop. Had to put his camera down, wipe his tears, and you could tell there was almost a sense of awe. Like, what is it with these people? عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. How amazing is the affair of the believer. But you can even speak in those moments and you could say something like that when that's your own son that has been put through that. It's a surreal moment, subhanAllah, that resembles what we've been seeing with our brothers and sisters. Think about the strength that you have to have to still say Alhamdulillah in those moments. It's because those people have an understanding that it's not about this. It's not about this flesh. It's not about these bodies. We're learning right now the reality of this life in real time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching all of us lessons about life in real time, about the material world in real time, so that you and I could wake up and we could perceive a bit more what is more meaningful and what is worth it. What is worth it? Now there's something that we have to have in terms of certainty, in terms of yaqeen, ilmul yaqeen to aynul yaqeen, the knowledge, certain knowledge to visual knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had something that we didn't have. If you saw the body of Ja'far al-Tayyar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, laying in the battlefield with his arms cut off, you would look at the sight of Ja'far radiallahu anhu and you'd be horrified. And the Prophet says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ جَعْفَرُ وَهُوَ يَطِيرُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَعَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. I just saw Ja'far flying around Jannah with the angels. You saw Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu cut up, parts of his inside taken and chewed. You'd say, what is this? Ru'b causes great discomfort and great sickness. And yes, the Prophet wept. I saw Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu reclining in Jannah. If you would have seen Asiya alayhi salam, when the stone fell on her, even before the stone fell on her body, and she was looking up at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh my Lord, build for me with you a palace in paradise and save me from the tyranny of Fir'aun and his deeds, and save me from a transgressing people. If you would have seen her, and you would have seen what happened to her afterwards, and there was a press conference next to the body of Asiya alayhi salam, we would have all had a serious sense of outrage, a serious sickness in our stomach. But the Prophet conveys to us the news of her place in paradise. If you would have seen the hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun, when she was brutalized and massacred by Fir'aun, it would have caused us all great anxiety. But the Prophet ﷺ smelled her scent on the night of Al-Isra wal Mi'raj, the scent of paradise from her, radiallahu ta'ala anha. We don't even know her name. The hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun. Now here's the thing. None of this took away from the anger that the Prophet ﷺ felt at the taking of innocent life. None of it. There was anger. There was anger when the Prophet ﷺ saw a person who was killed unjustly. There was anger when the Prophet ﷺ saw a woman from the other side in the battlefield, as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, an innocent woman that was killed. There was anger when the Prophet ﷺ saw a bird that was killed. Rasulullah ﷺ would be outraged. There was anger when the Prophet ﷺ saw people burying their daughters alive, even though he knows, alayhi salatu wasalam, each and every single one of those girls that was buried alive in Mecca, for no other reason but that they were girls, is in Jannah. And so there are two emotions to be combined here. One of them is the anger that we should feel at the loss of innocent life. The anger we should feel when we see the desecration of our brothers and sisters, and it should be anger. And sadness for the rahmah, the mercy that is in our hearts. When Rasulullah ﷺ held his son Ibrahim, you think he didn't know where his son was going? He knew exactly where his son was going. But he still cried over him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All with hope and complete certainty. Bal ahya, they are alive. They are alive. They are alive. If all of the children of Gaza that have been killed could hold a press conference right now, what would they say to the people of dunya? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allah Azza wa Jal fulfilled His promise to us. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to stop more murder, but alhamdulillah, we are okay. Alhamdulillah, we are under the care of our Lord. SubhanAllah, yesterday at the graveyard, there was just this sentiment, subhanAllah, like Allah did not create this boy by mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not bring him here by mistake, but he was killed in oppression. Those fetuses in Gaza that lived for a day or two, some of them maybe breathed for an hour, a few minutes. Allah did not create them by mistake. They have an eternity in Jannah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and they will be intercessors for their parents. We cannot see the other side of this, but we know what's on the other side of it. And when you think about the shuhada of Uhud that read the ayat about the shuhada of Badr to be comforted and to grow in their certainty, Imagine, dear brothers and sisters, you remember that image of Muhammad al-Durra, rahimahullah, Shaheed Muhammad al-Durra, 23 years ago. It was the image before social media that stoked the fire in the hearts of so many people around the world when a father is holding his son in his lap and saying, don't kill him, and calling out for help, and then his son dies in his lap. And then 3 days ago, his two brothers were killed. Imagine Muhammad al-Durra welcoming his two brothers, new shuhada, 2 decades later. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. And by the way, there's a part of this ayah that's very profound and very beautiful. Asiya alayhi salam said, رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ. Oh Allah, build for me with you. I want to be with you, Ya Allah. I don't want to be with these people anymore. I want to be with you, Ya Allah. More so than the jaza, more so than the reward of the house in the Jannah. What does the ayah of the shuhada say? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. SubhanAllah, something, by the way, I never noticed until today, personally. Deeply profound. Rather, they are alive with their Lord. رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ. Oh Allah, build for me with you. Allah says, they're with me. They're with me now. يُرْزَقُونَ. And they're being provided for. Like Asiya was provided her special house in paradise, they are with me now. I want to bring this to another element for us. And I know that a lot of us are scared these days. We have a lot of fear. And I want us to conquer that fear. The Prophet ﷺ, when he mentioned the way that Muslims would become the feast of the nations of the world, he mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah Azza wa Jal would put in your hearts al-wahn, fear. And subhanAllah, your enemies can sniff it. Those who hate you can sniff it. Why do you think the people of Palestine are so special? قَاهِرِينَ لِعَدُوِهِمْ. They drive their enemies nuts. Unbreakable people, resilient people. That grandma that refuses to leave even without water is so much more than 1,000 Israeli soldiers. They hate them, they despise them, and they envy them. The Prophet ﷺ said, your enemies won't have mahaba of you anymore. They'll look at you and they'll see you're weak because you have fear in your hearts. And they can see that fear in your eyes. And so you have al-wahn. You have this thing in your heart. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, what is al-wahn? And the Prophet ﷺ said, حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. We're not going to shy away from a hadith here. You love this world too much and you hate death too much. You love this world too much and you hate death too much. This hadith is a very important hadith because what it shows is that you have too much of a material attachment and your fear of losing out on the material due to a lack of conviction in what comes after this material world when the cover is pulled will cause you to not act in accordance with your faith and your principles. Because you're always going to consider the material losses. And I want you to ponder upon that hadith and think about what that means for us. And before they call us radical hate preachers, which they'll do anyway, so I'll bring in a Martin Luther King Jr. quote so that no one can say this is Islamic radicalism being preached in the masjid. You know, subhanAllah, I was listening to even Ambassador Andrew Young saying, I heard Martin Luther King say, he's narrating from Martin Luther King Jr., right? Said that you cannot live until you conquer the fear of wealth and the fear of the loss of wealth and the fear of death. I was like, that's a hadith. Literally quoted a hadith, right? And there's a famous saying from Martin Luther King Jr. that if you don't have something worth dying for, then you're not fit to live. So now let's bring it back to our own ahadith for a moment, okay? كُلُّنَا نَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah, in the context of another hadith, لَيْسَ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single one of us doesn't like death. We all hate death. But there's a context here. There's a context here. For us, dear brothers and sisters, in the context of this hadith, at no point will you ever give up on your faith or give up on what your faith mandates of you out of fear of anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to understand this, especially as fitan grow, especially as trials and tribulations grow. And what's going to cause you to not fear death so much anymore that it paralyzes you in this life? It's an understanding that we're not here to live for this. Does that mean be reckless? No. Does that mean throw yourself in the path of death? Absolutely not. Your life is an amana. You have to live for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. Your life is an amana. But you know what that means? We need to conquer our fear, and the ulama say if you conquer your fear of death, you conquer everything that is aqal min al-maut, that is less than death. If you conquer your fear of death, you conquer your fear of the loss of wealth. If you conquer your fear of death, you conquer your fear of the loss of security. If you conquer your fear of death, you conquer the fear of everything that comes under that. What we're seeing in our people is that they can't be broken anymore with the threat of death. Allah Azza wa Jal put something else in their hearts. The reason why I say this right now, dear brothers and sisters, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die except that you are Muslims. There's a lesson to take from all of this, is fill your heart with that certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and endure when those trials are presented to you. You don't go looking for al-khawf, you don't go looking for al-ju', you don't go looking for the loss of life, the loss of crops, the loss of your sustenance, No. You're smart, you're wise. You do things right, and you don't pursue recklessness. But we have to have in our hearts that certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what that means, especially in this time, this is a time that requires from the Muslims courage. This is the time that requires courage. This is not the time to shrink. This is not the time to shrink for us. We need wisdom. We need to be smart. We need to do things in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Speak in ways that are fruitful, that are productive. But this is not the time to cower. And I know that with all of the intimidation that is happening right now, specifically on Palestine, specifically on Palestine, intimidation at every single level. I understand that there's this concept of it is easy for me to speak if I never teach at a university again, at a mainstream university again, or never get invited to this place or that place. Not a big deal. I understand for some of you this is my job and this is my school and this and this is that. I'm not saying be reckless, but do be courageous. And it's time for us to find that moral courage inside of us, because as a community, we're not the same community that we were after 9/11. We're institutionally stronger, we have more numbers, inshallah ta'ala, we can be more organized. This is not the time to cower. This is not the time to shrink. We already played the fear game. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not fear, do not lose heart, do not grieve. You are believers, you have righteousness. Your brothers and sisters are an inspiration to you. They are an example of courage right now. And they are facing everything that Allah mentioned in that ayah. We at this point are facing maybe a little bit of khawf, a little bit of fear. And I don't want to minimize that for everyone, but we're facing a little bit of khawf. It's not equal for everyone. But if you look at that ayah, that's where we're at. Any one of us hungry for Palestine yet? Any one of us lost our jobs, lost our food, lost our money? Has anyone gotten kicked out of their home yet? Has anyone had, this next level of intimidation yet, to where you're really fearing for your security? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us something. And so I say that because we're going to need to be in this for the long run, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. This is not the time for fear. This is the time of courage, and that courage has to be based in ikhlas, and nurture your kids with that too. Don't tell your kids to be afraid. Tell your kids to be careful. Tell your kids to be smart. Don't tell them to be afraid. Tell them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and them. أَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ This is a time for courage. Be inspired by the people of Palestine. Be inspired by the people of Gaza. And keep reciting to yourself. You know, subhanAllah, I was thinking, you know, and when you go to these protests, they got the chant. So part of the protest is half the chant, and then you have to repeat it. And I thought, if a person, if a mu'min just said to himself constantly, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى This is ayah, this isn't a chant. Verily, with hardship comes ease. The ease of the people that die is Jannah. The ease of the people that die is Jannah. The ease of the people that live is Nasrun min Allahi wa Fathun Qareeb. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. And so I implore you to be strong, to stay united inshaAllah ta'ala. We be courageous, we be vigilant. And when we see these images, it's okay to cry, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried. It's okay to take a moment and step back and to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala broken, munkasiran, as Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu was when his father was martyred in Uhud, broken. It's okay to go broken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you can cry out to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those supposedly cold, lifeless bodies are now living souls. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept each and every single one of them as shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept each and every single one of them as shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept each and every single one of them as shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comfort them for every moment of cruelty that they faced in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter them into al-firdaws al-a'la. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them with a reward that would make them forget any pain that they faced in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hearts the love of Allah, the love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of al-Jannah, the certainty in al-Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to persevere and to act in ways that are pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us strong upon iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us strong upon righteousness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us insisting upon faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us committed to all that which we have been commanded to be committed to. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings along the way. Allahumma ameen wa salli allahumma wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.